Hello and welcome to the All 32 podcast. Who are we? We're just a bunch of regular NFL fans from across the UK who want to help create a new NFL community, one aimed at the new fan and the old fan. We don't mind how biased you are. You can even get a tattoo of your favourite player on your chest if you want. We're primarily a blog full of written content from your average fan because the fan knows best. I am joined by my co-host this week, Rob, Sean and Lee. My name is Chris. Rob, how are you? And
Chris,
who are you?
I'm very well, thank you. My name's Rob, one quarter of the All 32 team. Diehard Carolina Panthers fan. I've been for about 5 years now, ridden the roller coaster of MVP fame, of Super Bowl fame. We've never seemed to have won anything, though. And the only other thing I know, really, is my Christian McCaffrey tattoo I've got on my chest.
So how on earth do you go about getting a Christian McCaffrey tattoo on your chest?
I watched the draft. I think he was the 7th pick for us. Correct me if I'm wrong. They announced his name. I emailed my tattooist and said, I want this tattoo. I was in 2 days later and I'd not watched any college film or tape or anything at all.
Most people worry about buying a jersey.
Just like the name, I went for it.
The only problem I've got is if you move teams, I don't know what I'm going to do, really.
You have to follow his career.
Seems that way.
Sean, let's hear from you.
Yeah, so no tattoos for me, I'm afraid. Suffering Browns fan of around 10 years now. Picked the Browns as a franchise, has also been an Aston Villa supporter, so there's a number of Browns fans similar to me in that regard with the Randy Lerner connection. Optimistic about where the Browns are heading eventually after suffering years and years of terrible quarterback play, terrible defensive play, just generally terrible NFL play. If we do have any fans trying to get into the NFL and you want to see how not to play American football, I'd suggest you go and watch any Browns game from the last 3 or 4 years. That's probably a good place to start. So that's me.
It's probably a fair shout. So, Lee, let's hear from you.
Okay, yeah. Dolphins fan. Been Dolphins fan since 2005. Kind of stumbled into that bit by accident. Was due to go to Tampa, but the flights looked real busy, so I got sent to Miami instead and hooked ever since. So, yeah, it's been a lot more downs than ups. But, I say, not missed a game for about 7 years now. But, yeah.
That is impressive going. You've also got the added bonus that if you ever visit Miami, unlike a few of us where it's going to be absolutely freezing, we visit our cities, you're going to visit Miami, and it's going to be lovely no matter what time of year you go.
There's the one upside, if you go and they do get beat, you're still in Miami, it's okay.
Yeah. And for me and Sean, if you go to Cleveland, you're in Cleveland and there's not a lot to do.
And I've just come back, I'm talking from experience, I saw Brock Osweiler play twice. Yeah. Although you did have him at Cleveland, so did you suffer watching them start?
No, they traded him. Well, they cut him before he even could play a snap. So it was an interesting situation. It was cool. All right, we're now on to our first segment as such on the pod. It's called On the Clock. We aim to preview all the games in the NFL this weekend, except for the Thursday night games, which are happening right now. The Bears and the Lions are currently playing. We're going to start with 49ers at the Buccaneers, and Rob is going to take us away. Rob, give us 90 seconds.
Cheers, mate. Just going off what Sean wrote on his blog post, it's another week, another quarterback change for Tampa. I think this is what's giving him that shift in winning and losing week by week. The locker room haven't got somebody to look up to week by week. They're trying to do two different sets of plays week in, week out. But somehow they seem to be getting wins along the way. 49ers, I think they've not been doing too well since they've lost Jimmy G to the season-ending injury that he gained. Although Mullins has been balling quite well, he's looking at my stat sheet, he's got a 70.5 completion for 512 yards and 4 touchdowns for what potentially is a third-string quarterback. I can't really call a winner, but if I was going to say one, I'd say the Bucs on a field goal.
It's not bad. Did you know that Buccaneers quarterbacks have actually combined for more yards than Drew Brees? It's a fancy little fact for you all.
Really?
Yeah, which is something I heard the other day and really surprised me. I think their offense can really get moving. It's just the stupid interceptions in the end zone.
And the Bucs did have an early season win against the Saints, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They beat them in the Superdome as well. So, really impressive team. Just seemingly seem to want to turn the ball over every time they get towards the end zone. Sean, over to you. Browns and Bengals, go.
Okay, so Cleveland Browns, 25 games consecutively they've lost away from home. So this represents a good opportunity to get that streak broken. Offense has certainly been improved in the last couple of games since head coach Hugh Jackson was fired. He ironically will line up on the opposite sideline this weekend. Offense is producing more yards and more points, but probably more importantly, Baker Mayfield is getting protection. Makes him look every much the number one overall pick that he was in last year's draft. Bengals defense is horrendous, last in overall yards, last in rush yards per game, and also last in terms of getting off the field on third down. Offensively, Andy Dalton is always referred to as a very middle of the road quarterback. However, he does love playing against the Browns. He's got 110 passer rating or higher in his last six games with the Browns. Anyone listening to the pod who's new to the NFL, the maximum rating a quarterback can achieve is 158.3. So that just shows you the high level of consistency he's been able to reach in his last six games against the Browns. AJ Green, his top receiver, is likely to be back this weekend as well. But I'm going for a Browns win because, as I said, it is long overdue.
I can get behind that, Sean. Now I'm going to take us on to Jaguars at Bills. Last year, this was a playoff game. Arguably, has two of the worst teams for quarterback play in the league. The Jacksonville Jaguars, led by Blake Bortles. Possibly, it might be holding them back. If it wasn't for Bortles, I think the Jags would probably be a playoff team again and could be a challenger. The Buffalo Bills, this week they'll get Josh Allen back, the 7th overall pick. I'm still not really convinced by Allen, but I'm intrigued to see what he can do this week. The Jaguars' defense isn't as good as last year, despite a good game against the Steelers. I just felt they were always going to crumble. It'd be interesting to see what Allen can do. The Bills' defense, though, is the reason why I'm actually picking them to win this game. They have been playing some lights-out football. They've been absolutely immaculate. And talking about defense, as we are recording this, the Chicago Bears have just intercepted the Detroit Lions in the end zone with 1 minute to go. Nicely going to lead on to our next game, the Patriots, the Jets. Lee, take us away.
Yeah, so this is a 6 o'clock kickoff on Sunday, and both teams are coming off a bye week, which I think is good for the Jets. They have got an injury list as long as your arm. Sam Darnold's already been ruled out for the game. I don't see a way they overcome the Patriots in this. Patriots are great coming off a bye, great in general. The only glimmer of hope for the Jets is all three of the Patriot losses have come on the road this year, and this game is in New York.
Did anybody else really enjoy when the Patriots lost against the Titans, or was that just me cheering as a neutral?
Me too.
I think it was one of those moments.
Everybody loves a Patriots.
Sorry to any Patriots fans listening. You've had your glory, and as a Browns fan, I can't think of a franchise more opposite than ourselves. You have to admire them, but hate them just as much. Rob, you told us about your tattoo. Now tell us about your team and why they might beat the Seattle Seahawks in Carolina this weekend.
You seem to hit the nail on the head there, Chris. We are at Carolina this weekend. We seem to do a lot better at home than do on the road, but it's the same thing for us week in, week out. It depends which Carolina Panthers turn up. Cam can have games where he can ball, he can run, he can pass, and it's absolutely fine. And he can have games where he'll throw out, he'll fumble, he'll get sacked. You just don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, as a Panthers fan, I am going to go for a Panthers win, as long as we can use the running game to its advantage and not just consistently. We're just handing the ball to McCaffrey time and time and time again, and it's easy to read from an opposition's point of view. We need to start using DJ Moore, Funches. We need to start using Greg Olsen for what he's good for. but that's just my opinion. I'm going to go with a Panthers win by a very slim margin.
It's interesting, the guy with a McCaffrey tattoo on his chest is calling for them to give the ball to McCaffrey even less.
Just don't want him to get hurt.
Need him there forever. The Seahawks are quite an intriguing prospect, aren't they? Like, they seem to one week be really good, and then the next, I'm just not overly convinced by them. Does Pete Carroll just lack a bit of experience in his team, do you think?
I think in terms of Pete Carroll and Seattle overall, they're very much an old school franchise playing old school football. We just witnessed 105 points put up on a Monday Night Football this week. You know, you look at the Seattle offense and think it would probably take them 4 weeks to score that many. it's all about the ground game, and don't wrong, very effective. They lead the league in rushing. Personally, I actually like Seattle in terms of their wildcard prospects. I do think they are a bit of a sleeper team coming out of that division. They've had some tough fixtures recently. Really interesting game for me, the game of the early window on Sunday.
I agree. And talking about running games, the Raiders and the running Ravens. Sean, hand it.
Yeah, so in terms of running Ravens, the main runner may well actually be the quarterback in this game, Lamar Jackson. Started his first game last week, went for over 100 yards himself on the ground. If he does that again, he would be the first quarterback ever to rush for 100 yards in two games of a season. Gets a great opportunity here against the Raiders, who have given up a 100-yard rusher against them in five consecutive games. Raiders very much in a rebuild. John Gruden's been brought in after 9 years at ESPN. He has been head coach previously. He's 12 years in the league. This, however, is his worst year in terms of a start of a year, at least, as a coach. Offensively, they've traded away Amari Cooper recently. Defensively, Khalil Mack is balling out for the Chicago Bears. He was with the Raiders and has now gone. It really does feel like a long-term rebuilding project, and as a Browns fan, I know how painful they can be. For me, this could be quite a struggle offensively for both sides, so I would naturally therefore go with the best defence. So for me, I think the Ravens take this one.
Let's go quickly. Flacco or Jackson? Go, each person, quick.
For me, I think Jackson's certainly the future. He's got a lot of work to do, though. He's certainly not the finished article.
Lee, Rob, who are you picking out to?
I've got to go with Jackson on this. I'm of the new era of NFL, and I think the older quarterbacks need to start stepping down and letting the rookies join in a little bit more now.
And Lee?
I've got to go with Jackson, but I need to see him pass Bear out of the pocket. I mean, I think that gives Joe Flacco the edge up right now, but yeah, I think Jackson is the future of that team.
It's interesting, I would tend to agree. Now we are on to the Giants and the Eagles, and it is me previewing this game again. I've given myself another terrible quarterback in Eli Manning. Eli Manning is stuck behind potentially the worst offensive line, which might not aid him, but he looks like a statue to me. Every time a team has come at him, Eli looks, frankly, stuck. How can a team with Saquon Barkley and Odell Beckham Jr. just not move the ball and just look a bit meh? They have won recently, but I feel like this is the Eagles game. Eagles, since their Super Bowl championship last year, haven't really taken off. I don't think anybody would disagree with that statement. I don't think their offensive line's been as good as it was last year. But Carson Wentz is improving every week. I think this week they get it done. Saints game is a bit of a blip for them. Seeing Eagles win. Dolphins at Colts, Lee. Tell us why your Dolphins are going to upset the Colts.
Because they get their quarterback back. That's all I can say. The Colts are probably the hottest team in the NFL right now, other than the Saints. I mean, they are playing superb football with, I think it's fair to say, a lesser roster than some of those teams that have won a lot of games, like the Saints and the Rams. So going on the road there is going to be tough, but I think getting the quarterback back and both starting tackles, which they didn't have before the bye week, really turns this around. To be honest, I struggle to pick a winner. Obviously, I want to go with the Dolphins, but I think it's a field goal game. So I'll take the Dolphins by three.
Interesting. The Colts and Andrew Luck in particular, It was earlier in the year. He wasn't really throwing it deep. He looked like he was still struggling with his shoulder. But I think since like week four, he's just absolutely unleashed. Looks like a different quarterback spot because the Chargers 2 games ahead, leading on nicely about the Chargers. Rob, Cardinals visit LA this week. No doubt we'll see another invasion of LA by an opposition fan base. But who's going to win?
Now, I've not watched too much tape on both of these teams. They're as far away from the Panthers as what I can possibly imagine. But looking at a few things, the Chargers are 7-3 at the minute. And from my recollection, not really a bad record for this team. Looking at previous teams they've beaten so far, 49ers, Titans, Seahawks. It's a good list of teams they've won against. Going over to the Cardinals, though, I don't think Rosen's adapted that well to NFL life so far. I don't think he's a predominant weak link in this. I just think that the whole team are in some sort of lull. They need to pick it up, step it up, and just get going a bit more. But I'm going to go possibly with a Chargers win.
I would agree with that. I think Joey Bosa is also back this week, and that could be absolutely huge. Probably one of my favourite Buckeyes of all time. And I think he's absolutely key. I think I alluded to the fact I was also an Ohio State fan. Love those Buckeyes. I think he's very good. There's a few Buckeyes on display at Steelers and Broncos. Sean, who's going to win that game? And are the Steelers really back and a threat to the top three teams?
Pittsburgh usually starts the season slowly. There's always rumours of discontent, and then before you know it, they're miles ahead of anybody else in the AFC North and leading the division. That's what seems to be happening again. Struggled mightily last week against the Jags. Didn't get anything going offensively until deep into the third quarter and still managed to pull out a road victory. Broncos actually are surprisingly still quite competitive when it comes to the wild card race. They're relying heavily on the ground game. Philip Lindsay's been a bit of a revelation as an undrafted rookie. He got a couple of touchdowns last week. For me, the Steelers are just all round, though, a better side. So I can't see the Broncos winning this one. And unfortunately, that's another game in the bag for the Steelers for me.
Is there a team that handles adversity better than the Steelers? I can't think of one. I'm really jealous that they're so good at it. Like, Le'Veon Bell suddenly declaring he wasn't going to play. Every other team in the league, I think, would collapse. Bar maybe New England. Steelers just thrive off it. And yeah, is absolutely brilliant, isn't he?
Yeah, throw's the right word there. It almost feels as though, unless they have it in the season, that, you know, they have a disappointing season. Connor's been absolutely fantastic, and like you said, they haven't missed a beat from a playing perspective. So, unfortunately, it does look like they'll be heading to January again.
Right on. Now, Packers and Vikings. It's back to me. Kirk Cousins v. Aaron Rodgers. Two of the biggest paid players in the NFL. Why are these two players so massively paid? Because they're both good quarterbacks. Teams love them. But I think it would be fair to say both Packers and Vikings fans can't quite believe that they are not even contending for the NFC North this year. The Bears are running out with it. What's happening and the reason why? Vikings, to me, don't have a running game. Can't get it started on the ground. Just means teams expecting them to throw it to Thielen or Diggs every time. Just seems like teams set up to beat the Vikings really well. I've watched them again a couple of weeks ago against the Saints. They ran the Saints close. Probably close as many teams actually have done really well. But that lack of a running game killed them in that game. It's killing them since. The Packers and Aaron Rodgers. Feel for Rodgers. Obviously, he's probably in the top three quarterbacks in the league. But he's pulling that team all by himself. The rest of the team is so far behind him. And you saw it last year when he was injured. The only team they could beat all year without Rodgers was the winless Browns. I think the Packers might have the sneaky worst roster in the NFL if you take out the quarterback. Titans and Texans. Lee, give it.
So this Monday night game is first against third in the AFC South. And a lot kind of hangs in the balance here because the Titans are sitting at 5-5. And third place in their division. But they're bottom of the league in so many categories. Points, yards and passing yards. They're in the bottom three of the league. So a road game on a Monday night against the leaders of the division. They really need to find a way to pull it out. And it's going to have to be with their run game. But I think a night game at home in front of their crowd. I've got to go with the Texans winning this.
I was quite critical of the Texans recently. I said, I want to see them beat a winning team. They've finally now done that against the Redskins last Sunday. Look at the rest of their schedule, and it looks like they've got a lot of cup guy games. I think the Texans are going to just ride this now, and certainly ride to the AFC South. Be interesting to see how they match up against, say, the Steelers, the Chiefs, in those AFC playoffs, and even the Patriots. If they keep winning, they might even get a bye, which is completely mad.
Yeah, I mean, the important game, I think, on the schedule coming up is the December 9th game against Indianapolis. It is at home, but, I mean, that could decide the winner of that division. So,
absolutely huge matchup. That is all of our game previews for this week. We are now going to move on to discuss the two-point conversion. Sean is going to lead us on this, since he's written an absolutely brilliant article on the two-point conversion, whether or not it's a good idea, whether it's a bad idea. Sean, lead us away.
Yeah, so as you've said there, Chris, in terms of the article, I think just important thing to point out for any of you new into the game is the fact that the two-point conversion has become more of a talking point across the league since the 2015 season. The point after try used to be kicked from 20 yards away. That's now back out to 33 yards. And it's leading to some interesting decisions from teams with regards to, you know, either attempting to you know, try the kick and get the additional point, or to risk going for an untimed play from the 2 yard line. Obviously, if it is successful, that gives them 2 points. The game that's just finished, the Bears and the Lions, has seen a couple of 2 point conversion attempts from Chicago. Not successful, it has to be said. And in terms of, you know, my view, and you know, it's written in the article there, it's statistically, there's an argument that says over a period of time, it will lead you to a higher amount of points. But we've talked in our game previews there of some, you know, teams that struggle to score points and terrible quarterback play. You know, for me, points are precious in a game. You take the points whenever they're on offer. There'll always be times that you need to attempt for two, whether you're trying to make a late comeback down by eight going into the final seconds of a game. If you get a touchdown, you're obviously going to need to go for two. But I'm quite old school. I think if 7 points are available and you've got six of them in the bag, why not go for the additional one? It's a 94% success rate across the league. So, it, you know, certainly not a guarantee, but it's certainly a high chance of getting that additional point onto your tally. And certainly as a Browns fan, we've attempted a few of them this year. Every time we miss one, it always just feels as though we're chasing the game after we failed that 2 point conversion. So that's my take on it, guys. I've obviously got it written down for people to check out on the website, but be interested to hear your thoughts on it.
Rob, do you want to give us your thoughts on the 2 point conversion? Being a Panthers fan, you've had recent heartache on this matter.
Heartache, I don't think covers what happened at the Lions last week. You see, a 2 point conversion has got to be done with confidence, and you've got to get that confidence from the quarterback. Now, a lot of Panthers fans do not have confidence in Cam under these sort of situations. Riverboat Ron, he loves a gamble. Everybody knows that. But one extra point would have took us into overtime, and that's all we needed to see the game through. But no, we went for the 2 point conversion and we missed. We missed absolutely blatantly. If anybody goes on Twitter and looks for the picture, I don't know. I could have thrown that for 2 points, I think. But it's one of those, isn't it? You never get anywhere on safety. You've got to push the ball out to get points. And if you're not going to do that, you're never going to be a winning team.
Nicely put. Would you have interest? Would you run or pass if you were given the choice with Cam Newton on the 2 yard line to try and win the game?
I'd make Cam run. Cam is a big quarterback. I think recently he's been described as a dinosaur that can run. The guy's massive. He can tank his way through some defensive lines easily. Now, I'd make him run over letting anybody else run or catch any day.
And what about the man on your chest, Christian McCaffrey?
He can run if he goes wide. He's small and thin, and he's not going to get himself through a big defensive line. Hand it to Cam. Cam will jump. Cam will flip. Cam will do whatever Cam does to get the touchdown.
Lee, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm probably a little conservative. I'd kick the extra point unless the play sheet says otherwise. You know, if it's going to make it a two-score game, then I'm willing to push it out and go for two. But otherwise, I expect my kicker to be able to do his job. I know it's not been that easy, but, you know, that's what I pay him for. That's what I sit him on the bench for. come out and kick my extra point.
He's going to go get some fantasy points.
But, I mean, if I was to go for two, I would also run for exactly the same reason. You know, I want the big guys up front to show me something. I'm trusting you guys. But I think it's a massive swing in momentum. If you go for two when it's unnecessary and don't get it, you've got the high of scoring a touchdown followed by the sort of utter low of losing points, you know, more or less because of your own fault.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I would tend to, surprisingly, I'd actually probably go for it more often or not. I don't know if that's just because, being a Browns fan, I'm not used to too exciting things or many points, and a two-point conversion could be deemed either of those.
What would you guys do if you had a weak kicker? If you had a weak kicker, what would you do? Would you go for the 1 point or the 2 points? Now, we've got Graham Gano, and we thought he was one of the best kickers in the league. And if you watch the game against the Lions, the guy couldn't kick for his life.
I'd trust the kicker. You've got to trust him to do their job. Unless he's injured or there's something physically stopping him from kicking it. If the situation arises where you are going to, you would normally kick it, you've got to trust him. Obviously, I've said I'd go for it. But if you said if your game plan and game sheet says you trust the kicker most of the time, then you have to stick with it, don't you? Regardless of who's kicking.
Yeah, I think it's kickers get a bit streaky when they miss one early in the game. It seems to be hard for them to get back on track. And if you sit the kicker, he's now got a week to stew before he's going to come out to kick again. And I don't know if that does you a lot of good in the long run. I would rather him go out and miss one today and get it over with and move on, rather than having him sit on the bench and not
shake off those nerves.
Exactly. Yeah, you've got to get back on the horse.
Like, yeah, the mental battle is absolutely huge for a kicker as well. It's all between the head, isn't it, for them? Right, we should now move on to our final segment. This is another article review, so it's just a proof of the pudding. If you submit articles to All32, not only will many people read online and give feedback, we'll discuss it on the podcast. We had two articles, one in favour of Drew Brees and one written by Sean in favour of Patrick Mahomes. Lee, Rob, you're both neutrals in this situation. Sean wrote an article for Patrick Mahomes. Out of the two, which one would you give the award to and why?
I'll jump in. I've got to agree with Sean on this 100%. Patrick Mahomes, that kid, I wish we had that kid. Jesus, that kid is absolutely balling. Now, don't get me wrong, even though I am a Panthers fan and we're not very fond of the Saints, Drew Brees is an amazing quarterback. But what I'm trying to look at is the bigger picture. Like I said before, all the quarterbacks are going to have to step down at some point. And then you've got Patrick Mahomes coming in. He's 23 years old. Drew Brees is 39 years old. If you look ahead into the future, what's Patrick Mahomes going to be doing when he's 39 years old? If the kid's breaking records now, if he's throwing like he's throwing now. I mean, the kid threw out of his left hand when he didn't even need to and threw an amazing touchdown from that. Now, there's got to be a point where Drew Brees is going to hold his hands up and go, right, I'm going to step back. And that's when the people like Patrick Mahomes, your Darnold, your Allen, your Rosen, they're going to step up. And I've got to go with Mahomes on this all the way.
That's interesting. So, Lee, what would you say?
I'm a little bit caught in two minds here because Patrick Mahomes is having the greatest year. He's playing phenomenal football. But I think too often sometimes people can jump on the bandwagon of this is great. I think people did it with Dak Prescott in his first year, and it's going to come back down to earth a bit of a bump. He would be my vote for MVP, would be Mahomes, because I think Drew Brees has got the better team. But I'm not ready to say he's the best quarterback going forwards, because I think, you know, if he can do it next year as well, I'm on board. But I think we've seen too many players play for 1 year really well.
See, I'm gonna flip it all and make the case for Drew Brees. I think he has been absolutely amazing this year. Whenever you watch the Saints, it's all Drew Brees. He just always has a knack and ability to find the open man. If it's Kamara, if it's Michael Thomas, he's finding new guys on the outside. I forgot the name of the new wide receiver he found on last weekend. But he's been absolutely amazing. Every time he gets the ball, it's just Drew Brees, pass complete. Drew Brees, pass complete. Drew Brees, pass complete. Patrick Mahomes, don't get me wrong, has been absolutely sensational. I think both of these guys, they're going to be rightly in there. Is Jared Goff in the conversation for anybody else?
No. Not at all. Not at all. But the reason I'm enjoying this conversation and the reason why I do think people need to get online and read this article is it ends the Tom Brady era. Now, that more than anything makes me happy. I am so glad to see the end of the Tom Brady era. Sorry to any Patriots fans listening. But now we've got more people coming into contention for this quarterback MVP, man. The NFL is lighting up and I can't get enough of it.
It's all fun and games till Tom Brady goes and wins that ring in January or February even. Sean, you've written in favour of Mahomes. What about Drew Brees? Why not Drew Brees?
So, interesting question for me because as much as I've written the article, this is a shout out from me to any Chiefs fan listening to this or who've read the article online. We'd love to get you on board and get your articles up because actually, if you're asking me to pick the MVP, I would actually go with Drew Brees myself. I think Mahomes has been sensational, and to back up what the other guys have said there, I think to do it at such a young age and some of the stuff that's in the article around the records that he's breaking or will break by the end of the year, he's just a special talent. The difference for me in terms of Brees and why I feel that he should be the winner of that this year is consistency. He doesn't turn the ball over. The Saints are putting up 45 points a game consistently. And, I agree with some of he maybe does have the all-around bet. But I've been watching Brees play for the last 10 years and I'm absolutely amazed he's never won this before. He's got records galore. He'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's just a phenomenal player. And for me, he deserves to win it this year. As we stand here today, there's still a lot of football left to be played. Let's not any of us forget that. We could be sitting here in 3 or 4 weeks' time and things may look different. But for me, two phenomenal quarterbacks. I think there are some others in the conversation. I think, Goff has been good. He's been good. There's a number of players. Aaron Donald, commenting around Aaron Donald. Let's face it though, MVP is a quarterback award. I can't remember the last time it wasn't won by a quarterback, rightly or wrongly. So for me, out of the two that we've discussed on the site and discussed during this little section on the podcast, it would actually be Drew Brees. So we're tied at two all, gents. I think we'll need our listeners and our followers to split this one for us.
Cool. If our listeners and followers can let that. Got it.
Just on another point, I wonder, would it change any of your guys' mind if one team was to go deeper in the playoffs than the other?
It potentially would. I think if one of them wins say if they win the Super Bowl, then they've clearly probably deserved the MVP over the year. I think so. I think that would have a huge impact. I know it's meant to be an individual award, and obviously winning the Super Bowl is a team award, but I'd find it hard for a team winning the Super Bowl to get there this year without a stunning quarterback. Between those two and the Rams, I find it hard to really find faults.
Yeah, and it certainly has an influence on the people that actually do vote for this thing. We can discuss it and debate it. Obviously, it'll be decided by others. It generally does make a difference to those people. It's often teams with winning records or deep playoff runs that end up with the MVP on their side. So I do think it's important, but let's face it, there is every chance that both of these guys will still be playing deep into January. Potentially it could even be the Super Bowl matchup itself between the two of them.
Just taking a point there, what Sean made slightly about the team around, if you took Drew Brees or Patrick Mahomes out of the team that they've got now, out of that roster, and put them in the Browns, or if you put them in the Raiders, or if you put them in any other position, would they still be up for MVP?
I would love Drew Brees on the Browns. please give me Drew Brees. I love Baker, but don't think anybody would say no to him.
Can we have Drew Brees, and can we have Mahomes as the backup quarterback? That'll be good.
We get Tyreek Hill and Michael Thomas with them.
We've probably got the cap room, Chris.
Yeah. Interesting question though, Rob, to be honest. I'm not sure really how to answer that. If they were, I mean, I guess the team does elevate the player a lot. And also the system. Drew Brees' system and Patrick Mahomes', the systems they run for their respective teams have huge impacts on how they perform. If you slotted them just into the Browns, tried to play the same system, the same players, I don't think the talent is as good. For example, so perhaps probably Drew Brees more than Patrick Mahomes would have an impact just on his experience and ability. I think maybe Andy Reid's doing a better job at play calling than Peyton.
I think the Chiefs need to be commended for actually drafting a quarterback and giving him the time to mature, and it's paying off for them now. I don't want to put the Browns down, but you've drafted a few quarterbacks and they've kind of been thrust in, and I don't know if it's necessarily helped their development much.
No, I probably agree with that. I was all for Baker sitting this whole year until we watched two games of Tyrod Taylor, and then I was calling for Baker to get the start. right, lads, that will do us on our final article review. This is the close of the show now. I'm going to start by asking if everyone wants to plug their own social media channels. Firstly, you can follow All32 on Twitter at All32UK. You can also like our page on Facebook. You can obviously visit the website at all32.co.uk. We will be discussing two more articles next week. Lee, would you like to plug yourself at all on social media?
Yeah, I mean, I only really use Twitter. I'm Lee Top Landing on there. Post some stuff about the Dolphins, but maybe even try my hand at writing an article in the next few weeks.
Rob?
Yeah, definitely. Give us a follow. It's just Rob13. Send us some tweets, send questions, but by all means, check out the website more than anything at all32.co.uk. Leave an article on there. You never know, we might be reviewing your article next week.
And Sean?
Yeah, just back up what Rob said there. You know, get onto the website, get following us on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at All32 Sean. I'm banking on this making me a millionaire, so I've got All32 Sean before anybody else did. So that's where you'll find me on Twitter. But I'm very new to Twitter, so you know, apologies if I get anything wrong in terms of that. I'm sure I'll learn that as we go.
That's brilliant, Sean. Finally, I'd like to just say thanks for listening. And our outro song this week is brought to you by Psalms, Touch Your Body. And that is it. Goodbye.